Let me first tell you a story. There's a story that brings out a point that the Rav of Hamburg, when he first became the Rav, so the first day he got there, a lady approached him. The lady came to him crying, "I need a din Torah. I need a din Torah with this wealthy person, with this wealthy gvir, very powerful person in Hamburg, German. So I need a din Torah with it." And the Rav said, "Okay, you know, I'm very tired. You know, give me tomorrow. Give me a little time to rest." The lady said, "No, it's urgent. I need it right away. I have to have a din Torah." So the Rav says, "Okay, fine." He sends a messenger. Says, "Go to Shmera. Go to Reb Shmera. Tell him he has to come to din Torah. This lady's calling din Torah." He says, I can't go to him to tell him this lady wants a din Torah. He's so powerful. He's so wealthy. I'm scared of him." He said, "You have to go. I'm commanding you on the Rav. Go." He goes, petrified. He can't open his mouth. The Gevira looks at him. Reb Shmera looks at him. He says, "What do you want?" He says, "The Rav wants you to din Torah." "Wants me to din Torah?" Says, "I'm busy today. Another day." So he's scared to open his mouth. He comes back to the Rav. He says, "The Rav, he doesn't want to come today. He'll come a different day." Thought he was free. Said, "No, he has to come today. The lady needs a din Torah today. Tell him he has to come today to din Torah." She goes to Shliach. The messenger goes back to him, even more scared. And the wealthy man says, Reb Shmera says, "I will not go. I'm not going. Who does he think he is, this Rav? Comes to the city like this. I'm not going." So the Shliach comes back and tells the Rav what he said. And the Rav says, "You know, I can't physically harm him. I can't physically force him to come. But I have one thing, three letters. It's a three-letter thing we could use. Ches Resh Men. Chayrim. Go tell him that if he doesn't come today, he's put in chayrim." The messenger says, "You can't do that. So you're crazy. You can't do that. He's gonna have a, you know, be an uproar in the city." He says, "On the Rav, go." He comes to the guy. He's white as a ghost. He can't open his mouth. He barely gets the word out of his mouth. And the wealthy man, he says, "Okay, I'm gonna come." So not only did he come, the whole city came, and they said, "Now we officially accept you as our Rav." It was just a test. "We need a Rav that's strong, that's going to do what's right no matter what. Now we accept you as our Rav. Now we know you're fit to be the Rav of our city." It doesn't always work out this way. But look at it. If he would have backed out, he would have been nervous. "Oh, I'm going to lose my job. He's caring about himself. What's going to be with me? What's going to be with my parnasa?" So forget it. He would have lost all his honor. He would have lost his job. But he did what was right, because it didn't make a difference. Hashem's the boss. Do what's right. And that's safe. Sometimes you don't see it right away. That's nice. Not always you see it right away, but you have to believe it. Let me give you one more. Let me give you a mashal. It's a famous mashal. There was once a king that sent off one of his noblemen to a faraway country. You might have heard this before. And he told the nobleman, "Do me one favor. You cannot make any bets. You cannot make any bets with anybody. Whatever you do, don't make any bets." And the nobleman says, "Sure, whatever the king asks." He calls him in again before he leaves. "No bets. Don't make any bets with anybody. Promise me no bets." The nobleman says, "Sure, no problem. I won't bet." He gets to the town. He gets to the faraway country. And there are all these people there. He gets to the faraway place. And he says, and someone comes over to him and says, "You know, I know that you have a tattoo." Different versions. He says, "I know you have a tattoo on your back." "So I know you have a tattoo on your back. I know you when you were from a kid. You have this big tattoo on your back." He says, "I do not." He says, "No, I know you have a tattoo. Come, I know. Don't lie." He's doing it in front of a bunch of people. And he says, "Yeah, if you really don't have a tattoo on your back, I'll make you a bet. I'll bet you $10,000. Pay $100,000, make it more clear. I mean $100,000 that you have a tattoo on your back. Let's go." He says, "The king told me not to bet. The king told me not to bet. I can't bet. But the king didn't mean this. Come on, this is too much. I can't give up all this money. The king would be upset at me for not betting in this situation." So he says, oh, I have to take the bet. The king's going to be embarrassed. People are going to think that I have a tattoo on my back. Says, okay, fine. He picks up his shirt. He shows he has that no tattoo. Oh, I must have mixed you up. He gives him $100,000. When he comes back to his country, the king is mad. Calls him and he says, Shaita, what is the matter with you? I told you not to bet. He says, well, it was true. I got $100,000. He says, fool. I bet this guy $1 million that he wouldn't be able to get you to take your shirt off. This is the lesson for life. Sometimes it looks like you're going to gain some money. You're going to gain a few dollars. You're going to get this. You can get that. If I say the Lashon Hara, whatever situation you're in, you think you're going to gain. And if I don't do it, I'm going to lose. That's because you don't know the whole picture. You don't know there's Hashem running the world, and you don't know the whole picture. Hashem's running the world, and everything we do, if we do what's right, it's your promise, you're guaranteed, it's only going to be for your benefit. In Olam Hazeh too, not just Olam Haba. And I just want you to know that it's not just in this area. You know, a lot of times, it's everything. The Torah was meant for our benefit. The Torah was not meant to inflict us, to hurt us. The Torah was meant for our benefit. I think, you know, people say you have to sacrifice for Torah. So I don't like the word so much. Let me just explain. Because when you think of the word sacrifice, you think like, it's much more geschmack to be doing this. It's much more geschmack to say Lashon Hara. It's much more geschmack to do this. But I have to sacrifice. Look, for my Olam Haba, it's doing the right thing. You got to sacrifice. Let me give you a mashal. Shouldn't give this mashal to be smashed. But let's say a guy that Chas V'Shalom smokes. Right? He's killing himself with smoke. So I want to know, if you go over to the guy and tell him, you know, you gotta sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. You gotta control yourself from the cigarette. You gotta sacrifice for, you know, to do what's right. You gotta sacrifice. I don't think anyone calls quitting smoking a sacrifice. It is true you're giving up the pleasure of temporary pleasure. It's true that it's hard, but we don't call that a sacrifice because it's all your benefit. You're saving yourself. You're not sacrificing. You're saving yourself. If you quit smoking, you know, keep yourself healthy. It's all for you. You go to the dentist or you go to the doctor. It's not a sacrifice. The same thing is with the Torah. If you follow the Torah, you do what's right. There's no greater happiness than someone who lives his life with the Torah, who has control over his midos, who enjoys learning Torah. There's nothing better out there. It's true. It's true. Sometimes you have to sacrifice. You have to control yourself. And that second, it's hard. But you have to know it's all in the long run, and in the short run, it's all for your benefit. It's all geschmack, it's all for you. You will be a happier person. You will be so lucky. Ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'toivlach olam haba. It's all geschmack for you. And olam hazeh, is much more geschmack if you follow the Torah. People are running after money and all these things. It doesn't. These taivas, these desires are hard to control ourselves. But it doesn't make the person happier. It doesn't make a person more fulfilled. Doesn't give a person simcha. Person lives a life of Torah. Person learns Torah, keeps the Torah. Person's a hecher, a mensch. He's a person of simcha. And now we come to Pesach. We were taken out of Mitzrayim. We were slaves to Mitzrayim. And Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. But, as Chazal tell us, we're not free to the word free in one sense. We went from being servants of Paro, servants of the Egyptians, to servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the servants of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. But we have to realize the tremendous difference, obviously, between the two. Servants to Mitzrayim were enslaved. It's a life of suffering. It's a life of tumma, it's a life of unhappiness. Now we're zaycha, there's no greater simcha than to be a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're a servant, yeah, you gotta learn. Yeah, you gotta give up the stuff that you like. And it's called a servitude, because you gotta be committed to stuff. You gotta be committed, you gotta control yourself. But it's the greatest gift. Chazal tell us, we're all familiar with, Ein ben chayrin, who's a free person? Someone that learns Torah. But I thought we're servants to Hashem. We are. That's the greatest freedom. That's the greatest happiness. We're free from our Yetzirah. You have to, you guys, Mirz Hashem, you, There's no greater simcha than a person who lives a life on Torah. People are walking around worried about this and worried about that. And people walk around wanting, running after this, running after that. People are angry. People have all these pressures. Torah teaches you to trust Hashem. There's nothing to worry about. Angry, we don't get angry. We work on ourselves. It takes time. We not jealousy. Everything. We're free. We're free from all the difficulties of life. All the difficulties of life lie in the Yetzirah. Everything is geshmak. Everything's geshmak when you follow the Torah. So, when we're to Hashem, we should be zeicher that we should feel the simcha of Adar last 2 days. Feel the simcha of Nisan. And remember, when we sit by the Seder, Chazal tell us that Chayav Adam Liros is Afu Kilo Yatsum Mitzrayim. You're obligated to see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. It's quite difficult. You know, but at least, I'm not saying you're Yaitse with this, but at least, Chayav Adam Liros is Afu Kilo Yatsum Mitzrayim. Feel the simcha. Try to appreciate the fact how beautiful, how lucky you are. You say a bracha every morning, Baruch Atah Hashem Kinam Ha'Cholam Shalai Yassani Gai. How lucky we are. You see the guy running around, you think they have, you sometimes it looks, oh, they're so lucky they could take this and get that. It's not worth anything. We're so lucky that Baruch Hashem, we're Jews, Hashem made us Yidden, Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and brought us to be His Am. And that's the simcha of Pesach, that's the simcha of Purim. Mitzvah Hashem, we should have a hakasha v'sameach.